Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. The Tory leadership contest is entering its final parliamentary stage. By Thursday, we'll know which two candidates are going to be put forward to Tory party members for selection. And Rory Stewart, previously the outsider at 100-1, is coming up fast. So will he now make the final two after his strong performance in last night's debate? I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Bowles to discuss. So, Katie, you watched the debate last night. I'm not quite sure how edifying it was for any of them, but you think that Rory Stewart, who has had momentum all the way through, continued that momentum?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was a clear winner from the debate. It turns out if you say that on a social media forum, you will have lots of supporters of various candidates get in touch to tell you there was a clear winner. But I think when you were watching that debate last night, some could argue that Boris Johnson could have been a winner in the sense that he was not part of the blue and blue warfare.
Of course, standing aloof from
exactly. I personally think that Boris Johnson received enough criticism for it to be slightly damaging to him. But I do think the level of blue on blue between the candidates did in part justify Boris Johnson's decision, or at least give him enough cover for not doing that debate. When you look at the candidates who were there, the real competition right now, because Boris Johnson looks like he is such a sure thing in the final two, is who is going to join him there. I think all the candidates managed to get their points across, but I do think that over the weekend, we are seeing a slight boost for Rory Stewart, just in the sense that he is gaining momentum. And I think his team will be very happy with his performance last night, because in part because his Brexit position is different to nearly everyone else around that, all those lecterns, because he likes the deal, like might be an understatement, he loves the deal. He stood out more, and it meant it was easier for him to cut across, I think, when the others were, well, not Dominic Raab, but the other three, Michael Gove, Jeremy Hunt, Sajid Javid, were saying more similar things on Brexit. And he also had quite a clever, perhaps pre-orchestrated event after it, which was soon after the debate, you had Margot James, who had been supporting Matt Hancock, who dropped out on Friday, tweeting to say that she would now be supporting Rory Stewart and she had been inspired by his performance. And I think this was a real shock to some of the other leadership campaigns. There was a sense that Margot James was someone that perhaps a team like Jeremy Hunt might be able to get. So I think there is a slight bewilderment amongst those cabinet candidates who thought they were running the serious main contender campaigns, that Rory Stewart is now taking support and picking up supporters from Matt Hancock, now he's out the race, that these campaigns thought they would be picking up.
And James, has Rory Stewart been disrupting the cabinet campaigns, do you think?
Yeah, I think the blog that Katie wrote on this on Coffee House yesterday is right about this, because if you look at what is happening, all the other campaigns had this hope that they would pick up momentum as the other candidates dropped out. You know, first of all, the problem for the cabinet candidates was the three people eliminated first, Harper, Leds and McVeigh, were all pulling in more Brexiteer votes. So it wasn't clear what pool of votes they were going to pick up. So Matt Hancock's 20 votes really is the only pool for these people to go and fish in. And the problem that they've got is that for people like Margot James, who are very worried about a no-deal Brexit, they see that Boris Johnson is certain of a place in the final two, and so they want to back the most anti-no deal candidate out there, and that leads them to Rory Stewart. Now, if you look at the Michael Gove strategy, the hope had been that his argument against no deal would lead to him picking up these people, but the problem is Rory is way more opposed to no deal than Michael Gove is, or Jeremy Hunt is. So that anti-no deal caucus vote is going to end up going to Rory Stewart. Now, the question is, are there another 14 of those in Matt Hancock supporters that can get Rory Stewart to the 33 mark? I did think, though, that one thing I did think about Rory Stewart last night was the walks have been very effective, but last night was every old debater's trick in the book. That, you know, excuse me, would you let me finish? I'm going to make several points here in answer to the question, then they're asked for one thing to say three. And at one point, Rory Stewart even turned to the camera and said, you know, see what I did there. And I think in a way, weird way, Rory Stewart is really enjoying this. But there is some, and I think that is generally a positive thing in campaigning if you're enjoying it. But there is a fine line that at some point you can enjoy it a little bit too much and begin to look rather pleased with yourself.
And Katie, you mentioned blue on blue action earlier on. This is, of course, one of the concerns about doing it this way, but that Tories love nothing more than the taste of each other's blood. And by the time they've finished, then this leadership contest might look like a mutual destruction pact having been
enacted. So what moments jumped out at you last night of being the moments where Jeremy Corbyn's attack dogs would be sitting there with a notebook thinking, yes, I'll remember that one?
Yes, well, the argument from, I think, some of the Johnson allies who didn't think he should be taking part in these debates was that these could be weaponised by Labour in a general election, perhaps Momentum and clipped. Now, I think if I was sitting in the Momentum office, the bits that would have struck out to me was, I think there was a point where Rory Stewart accused a lot of his rivals of having a macho approach to Brexit. You had, in turn, Dominic Raab suggest that Rory Stewart's approach to Brexit was befitting of a Venezuelan dictatorship. And this was the idea that you would have a citizens' assembly. Now, he didn't say this once, he said it twice. So it's clearly a tagline he wanted to land. Mm. So I think next time the Tories go in the attack about Corbyn and Venezuela, perhaps that one could pop up. Now, I think also if Boris Johnson is going to be Prime Minister and he's currently the favourite, I think Jeremy Hunt probably had the most successful swipe in terms of the daily aim. But again, it could come back to haunt the Conservatives. He said if Boris's team won't let him out to debate five pretty friendly colleagues, how will he get on with 27 EU countries? And then we also saw a bit of a Dominic Raab pylon in general. I think what Team Boris is a bit sceptical about is the idea that if you put Boris Johnson in such a forum, and we will see this on Tuesday in the BBC debate, does it allow all the other candidates to turn on Boris Johnson? They weren't able to do that last night, though there was an empty lectern that they pointed at various moments, but it did become a bit of a stop Dominic Raab. And you saw that when they were asked about whether or not they would rule out proroguing Parliament. Now, we have heard Dominic Raab say multiple times he will not rule it out, but that meant that all the other rivals had plenty of time to come up with their own digs at this decision. I thought Sajid Javid's was perhaps the most spiky when he said, "You don't deliver democracy by trashing democracy. We are not selecting a dictator," thereby suggesting Dominic Raab is a dictator. And so I think those were perhaps the lowlights / highlights.
I think this is where the significance, whether Rory Stewart can get these 14 MPs to make the BBC debate on Tuesday night. Because if he does, and he doesn't come and he gets through to that round, he is going to take the most confrontational approach to Boris Johnson. And I think that is what some in the Boris camp do worry about, which is not that Boris Johnson is going to end up losing to Rory Stewart, but there'll be a series of wounds inflicted on him that will damage him before he, you know, even gets the keys to number 10. I think that is the kind of question here. And I think the kind of interesting, I thought the dynamic of last night's debate, one of the other striking things about the dynamic of last night's debate was there was this big Brexit pylon. But then when it came to everything else on domestic policy, they basically agreed. There was a fascinating moment when Rory Stewart said, almost to his own surprise about something, "Well, actually, I agree with what Dominic Raab said, and I suppose that's why we are both in the same party, because we both think the same way on this domestic policy question." And the surprise, I thought, in Rory Stewart's voice was quite telling. But I mean, what you will see on Tuesday night, ironically, from Boris Johnson is an attempt to get off Brexit as fast as possible. He will try and say his October the 31st, we are leaving, come what may, and then try and desperately pivot onto his one nation domestic agenda.
And the Tuesday night's debate being?
Tuesday night is a BBC debate, and it will be between whatever candidates are left in the race at that point. Because there is there is another round of voting on Tuesday in which at least one more candidate will be eliminated. Right now, the question is, who is that candidate who will be eliminated? Both Sajid Javid and Rory Stewart are below the current threshold you would need to make, of 33 votes, you would need to make it through to the next round. So the question is, you know, which one of them, and Dominic Raab, so three candidates are below that threshold. The question is, which of them manages to get over that and make it to the BBC debate or not?
So, Katie, for the next episode of 15 to 1, then, some of the contestants are going to be eliminated. But right now, this will be the conundrum, because ultimately, there can be only two. You're going to get Boris and the most likely challenger. Now, it might, if you're a Remainer, it might satisfy you emotionally to have Rory Stewart going up and down the country, closely resembling your argument. But you will know there is no chance of the Tory party members choosing Rory Stewart over him. So now, I suppose there's not much chance of them choosing Jeremy Hunt either. But until this time last week, it had looked as if Boris and Jeremy Hunt were going to be in the final two. And I imagine the rationale there is because if you're a Remainer, then Jeremy Hunt is the closest thing you're likely to get that stands a reasonable chance. But if you think Hunt is doomed, do you think these people will now think, well, let's just put Rory Stewart there just to make sure that Boris has least comfortable time during those few weeks where he's going to be campaigning in the party members?
I think the problem Jeremy Hunt has is in the ballot last week, yes, he came second after Boris, but the margin was so small. He was only, I think Michael Gove is about 6 votes behind him. And that means it's been very hard for Jeremy Hunt to make this argument that his team had wanted to make, that he is the person if you want to stop Boris. Now, add to that the fact that his campaign, I think, has been less enthusiastic than Rory Stewart's. And I think there are Tory MPs who have a sense that why not send someone forward who is really going to put in the fight and is really going to have these debates. And I think what's also helping Rory Stewart slightly here is, so we had Matt Hancock endorsing Boris Johnson.
Yes, that was a bit of a surprise because Matt Hancock's politics are obviously closest to Michael Gove's. And the Hancockites, if you can call it, was 20 people his supporters. I'd be very surprised if they back Boris. What's going on?
So I think it has caused some surprise. There were hints at the end of last week that he might move behind Boris Johnson. Now, Michael Gove has suggested he is disappointed by this decision. I think a cynic would say Matt Hancock wants to be on the winning team. Now, Matt Hancock's side will say, well, actually, look at where the MPs are, look at where the grassroots are. Let's get behind someone who can unite. But I do think it touches on something else, which has been, there has been a sense amongst some One Nation caucus Tories that Matt Hancock was in this to get a good job rather than someone like Rory Stewart, who was in it to just try his hardest to get into number 10. I think if you look at some of the things that Rory Stewart says, you don't get the mass idea he is angling for a top job in Boris Johnson's cabinet.
He's ruled it out.
I mean, yeah, he now and then hints that he might, but I think last time I checked, he has ruled out being in a Boris Johnson cabinet. Now, at the moment, it means that Rory Stewart does have momentum behind him. And I think there is a serious chance that candidates who don't want this to be a coronation, and at the moment, it does look like this is going to the husting stage. But I think there's also a chance that it goes to the husting stage and it's fairly flat. And I think if you were to send Rory Stewart to the husting stage, I don't think the Johnson campaign would be particularly delighted because it's going to be a bruising night every time they go for the hustings. But I think there are some MPs who increasingly think, let's have that debate. So it could help him. I mean, speaking to one Rory Stewart supporter this morning, they think they are now a handful of votes away from getting enough to stay in on Tuesday night.
So James, are we going to get an all-Eton final then? What a great reflection of modern Britain that would be.
Huh? To let you in on a secret, there's no doubt that the Boris Johnson campaign would most like to face Jeremy Hunt in the final two. Because that would be a completely predictable contest that Boris Johnson would win, barring some act of God, by a comfortable margin. And also, you saw last night, Jeremy Hunt has many strengths as a politician, but he couldn't impose himself on that debate.
He's barely awake.
And so that is the issue there. The Hancock thing is interesting. Now, obviously it is a blow to Michael Gove because Matt Hancock and Michael Gove used to share car rides home and they both lived in the same part of town. They both now moved, but they were politically close. But I think the Hancock endorsement of Boris also reveals something else. Boris Johnson is actually a liberal, modernising, One Nation sure. Tory from exactly the same bit of the party as Matt Hancock.
And Michael Gove.
The only thing that those three really disagree over is Brexit. On almost every other question, they agree. One of the weird things about politics at the moment is this desire to get a culture war going about Boris Johnson. When Boris Johnson actually agrees, the people who are most keen to start a culture war with him, Boris Johnson would actually agree with them on nearly everything, on gay rights, abortion, even immigration. He would be on the same side of the argument as all these people. Yet these people are desperate to have a culture war about Boris Johnson.
James and Katie, thanks very much indeed. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, on the iTunes Store, and also email us at podcast@spectator.co.uk. We're always very grateful to those of you who can take the time out to email to let us know what you think of the podcast and how it can improve. Thanks for listening, and thanks to John O'Neill, who produced the podcast.